Welcome to Watch Over,
a podcast devoted to all things Arrow and Felicity.
Featuring myself, Jen, aka J Buffy Angel,
and me, Kelly, aka Callista Wolf.
Be aware we do discuss spoilers
and swear now and then,
but we will always have fun and you will too.
We'll start with a new intro. Hi guys, how's it going?
There we
hey,
go.
Hey, happy Friday!
Woohoo! Woo! It's podcast day. I'm so excited.
Thank you for all of our listeners for being patient with our inconsistent schedule, but life be crazy. So
I don't know what to tell you guys. It's my kid. She's got a life now, and I have to go support her and like stuff. She's in another play on the stage.
I mean, not the play. The play doesn't sound awful. Having a life sounds awful.
I know. Like, I reject going outdoors, too. I understand where your introverted self is coming from. You are my spirit animal. I'm like, why? But like, and I had to volunteer. So I had to, like, be pleasant.
No. I'd be like, listen, I love you, but no.
Like,
I cannot.
Like, being in a family of two extroverts is a trial.
Here's what happens. The extrovert gets to do the volunteering.
Yeah.
And the introvert stays at home.
I have nominated my spouse to be the vice president. Oh, no, wait. He's going to be the treasurer of the Theater Booster Club.
Okay. There we go.
Now, my mom on principle just refused basically all the, like, voluntary type stuff.
Oh, I know. So did my parents.
No, I just don't. Like, well, if they basically need a parent, it's going to be Kyle. It's
not- it was honestly on my behalf since I kept getting crap parts. She's like, I'm not getting involved for it.
Yeah.
You only
for your bit
have,
part.
Like, yeah.
Sorry.
So she was like, occasionally if they needed, like, snacks or something of, like, here, I made a batch of cookies.
You're the youngest, and by the time they get to you, it doesn't matter if you have, like, 2, 3, 4, 5, by the time they get to the last kid, they're tired and they stop caring. My parents didn't come to anything like my senior year, and I was captain, and like one of the requirements of being captain for cross country was you had to hold a spaghetti night, which means that you feed the entire team at your house spaghetti. And my mother was like, why does this involve me? Why do you getting captain require that I cook for 50 people? I'm like, I'm sorry.
My mom would have been like, you're cooking for 50 people.
Well, but then like she does, but then she like goes all out, makes her homemade sauce, and is like, see, that's the thing. My mom's an introvert, but
then
like,
it's like, but
me.
If we're going to do it, then we're
going
to fucking
do it.
It.
Like she's exactly like me. We're like, okay, if we have to be extroverted, we're extroverting with brilliance.
It was so funny. In my last like one-on-one meeting with my boss, in prep for it, they're like, take this Myers-Briggs thing and we'll talk about your types and whatnot. And I hadn't taken it in a really long time, so I was like, okay, yeah, I'll see a refresher.
Yeah.
So it's because I'm ISFJ, and
hey, that's what I am.
I've never taken this.
Really?
I'm surprised. There we go.
Well, I swear both companies I have worked at for the last 15 years have like wanted me to take it, but like then they're like, we don't know how to send it to you because you're not around, and it's like weird. So I feel like I got signed up for it, and like I tried to sign up for it and it filled up and I couldn't like
and then there's ones that are more fandomy focused, but then it'll let you know what fictional characters that have your type and stuff.
Yeah,
which Felicity Smoke is an ISFJ, so what we win.
I mean, feels true. I believe it. I believe it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've been dying.
Point of the story.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Was just that my boss was so surprised to find out that, like, she's like, wait, you're introverted? And I'm
right.
Like, yes.
Because you're totes like me. Like, I feel like Callie is your, like, standard introvert.
Like, antisocial introvert.
Antisocial, cool with the peeps, but like basically the world can go fuck itself. And then there's like me and Maddie, who we present as very like perky.
Yeah. I just straight up told her I made an entire career out of faking extroversion.
Exactly. But in reality, internally, we're dying.
Exactly.
Here's the thing, and you guys never really have had a chance to witness this. I can fake it really well. Like, if I have to go to a function for, say, Kyle's work or something.
Yeah.
Smile and chat it up and look like I'm at ease.
Yeah.
But, like, I hate it.
I feel like that's a very important key to being an introvert, though, and to, like, functioning in greater society. Is
you have to.
You just have to figure it out.
You have to.
Exactly. Like, otherwise, people are going to be like, hi, you're a hermit. What's wrong with you? And you don't want to end up in a mental facility. Nobody wants that.
It's that or learn to code. And then.
Right. Yep. What's weird is I'm married to an extrovert who likes coding. I don't know, guys. He's just a great big nerd. I don't know what to tell you. So I was like. Because, like, he's not going to drive Lauren around all, I mean, honestly, just say prayers, guys. My child is, like, going to be taking her driver's test, like, this summer.
Oh, my.
Is she going to pass it? I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. Like, if I said, like, right now, put a gun to my head, probably not. But, like, it's just the lane lines, like, feel like, she feels like those are suggestions. And so, like, it's just like getting her to keep the car.
They're absolutely not suggestions, like, Lauren.
My love, my darling little pumpkin. You have to stay in the lights.
Yep. See, the nice thing of my first car, and I learned how to drive in a Beetle, is it's so small. It makes it easy to stay in the lane and stay in parking spots.
I mean, I do give her, like, she is driving her father's, like, what does he drive? I can't. It's gone. It's out of my head. Anyways.
But like mid-sized SUV or something.
When he's done driving her around, he's not going to have anything to do. And historically, Nick actually has the harder time with Lauren in new faces than me. Like, I cry one time and then I'm over it. He just like goes and like he spirals into like a midlife crisis. So I volunteered him for treasurer of the booster
does he midlife crisis harder than mine? Because mine bought a motorcycle.
No, I ended up buying him his midlife crisis thing. That was when Lauren was, he had a hardcore midlife crisis around 8 because Lauren, like stopped hanging out with him all the time and like made friends. And then she was like over at her friend's house, you know, like a child. And like, it's in that phase where like they're at their friend's house all day. Like, you essentially set up a custody arrangement with all the neighborhood moms. Like, okay, I have your kid Monday, Tuesday, your Thursday, Friday, whatever. But she wasn't around. And he was just like, what the fuck do I do with myself? Because, like, she was, like, his little buddy. And he completely lost his shit. And I bought him an Xbox.
I feel that Kyle's doesn't have as much to do with the kids and more to do with the fact that, like, he feels like he's an old now. And
yeah. Like, I think, like, Nick doesn't care about that. Maybe because, like.
Maybe just give him a few years because I'm telling you, they're 50s. Yeah.
I think it's rough. Like, it's rough in the 50s. Got it. Okay. Got to keep a weather eye.
Keep a weather fucking eye.
Parents' strategy of distract from the sadness by immediately going on vacation. So they dropped me off at college and then got on a plane and went to Hawaii.
Listen up, that's my plan, because I've told him I'm going, like I said, with the college thing, he will have to be the strong one, because that's going to be, like, I'm fine, like, I'm sad, like, okay, she'll be, but she's still at the house, like, she's still driving around, I still have to feed her, but, like, when she goes to college, I'm going to be, like, catatonic, so we're going to France.
Wow.
That's the plan. That's been the plan since, like, she was, like, 6 years old. Because I, like, foresaw the future. I was like, she will abandon me one day for her education. Which is wrong. How dare she?
How dare.
Yeah, so I got him an Xbox, and now he, like, made, like, adult friends. So now he has adult friends to play with. So, but still.
It's not a motorcycle.
Also, I'm kind of hoping, like, Nick on the Boosters team maybe will help Lauren's chances with getting on. The problem with this activity is, like, you got to get a part. So, like, she's delightful. Like, I know the music teacher loves her, and it's like, but it's not like we're working with a Broadway voice. So I'm just kind of like hedging our bets. Lauren was like, what if I don't get a part next year? I was like, well, then daddy's on the booster team helping an activity that you are not on. That's fine.
Nepotism.
So we'll deal with it. It's fine. It's all good. We don't need to knock anybody off. Don't need to break legs. Whatever. Okay. I have been dying. Maddie, did you watch Queen Charlotte yet?
No, because I don't have Netflix.
You canceled Netflix?
well, once they got rid of password sharing, I can't mooch off with my grandparents anymore.
Why can't That's a good point.
Wait, so you're not going to be able to watch Bridgerton?
So I am waiting until Bridgerton comes out, and I will pay for a month where I can watch Bridgerton and Queen Charlotte in one month and get bang for my buck.
Got it. That I like the plan. Smart.
I like that strategy.
That's I'm gonna. So we'll read.
But I know what happens because I'm me. So
yeah,
discuss away.
Well, and also, you know, history.
Right. So I would like to make a controversial statement. Are you ready, Callie?
I already know what your controversial.
Are you not ready? Is. Buckle up. Yes. Buckle up. They're my favorite Bridgerton couple.
You are so weird.
I can't help it. There's no rhyme or reason to it, but I love them. Like Here's I the bawled thing. Like a little bitch baby. I was
They're
just
my
like
second favorite. Which is saying a lot, I feel.
I think that is saying a lot because like you really didn't like like I feel like Simon and Daphne are like there's like Kate and Anthony and they're then like way down the list.
Here's the thing.
Way down the list.
Here's the thing.
Into the,
Simon
into
and
the
Daphne would be
position.
My favorite if they were the only ones. It's not that I didn't like them. It's just that.
But, like, in comparison.
In comparison, there's just no comparison.
But, okay, so here's where it gets complicated for me. Because now, like, I could say that Simon and Daphne are my second favorites.
Wow.
But then that means Kate and Anthony are my third favorite, which feels super wrong.
But here, once you get Colin Penelope, then they'll be your fourth favorite.
And that's what I'm feeling. Like, I gotta, like...
It won't be
like,
as bad.
It's gonna shake it out in August. And I'm like, okay, yeah. I feel better about the ordering.
As we get more seasons and stuff, I think Anthony will always be in top three, no matter what the other things
shuffle. They're just iconic. They were
like,
so
they
good.
Got it.
They're the heads of the household.
There was so
like
much tension.
Super,
it was delightful.
And I also, like, I mean, honestly, Anthony was out of control. Like, I rewatched the scene where he's, like, telling her to move. And I'm like,
that was so dang
like, come on, man. You gotta, like, give me a break. Like, I can't breathe. It's really uncomfortable. I'd like to breathe. But, like, I feel... Like, if I see, because then I'm like, well, then Daphne was kind of a pain in the ass, but I just love Simon. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. It's going to end up with a ranking of the men.
That's where your bread and butter lay.
I think it's going to be like, I just got to break it down by like, just she's the cutest.
I don't know if I can separate it that much because how she reacts to the man. Is a big part
That's
of it.
That's fair too. That's fair too.
It's like, part of it. The dynamic and
Daphne was just such a I think she brings Simon down for me. Mm. Whereas Kate was just like she was like a goddess, you know. And
I also feel like remember her outfits, like the colors they had
oh
on
my
her.
God, she had like the
A+.
And her majestic hair.
I gotta be honest. There's not a lot of people that can pull off. Orange, and I'm not just saying orange. I'm talking like it was like blaze orange.
It was orange.
It was a very orange dress, and it looked fantastic on her. That's all I'm saying.
Speaking of, she's in yellows and oranges in The Little Mermaid coming up, and I'm here for it.
Yes. Although I've heard I feel like the reviews aren't that good on it, but whatever, it's fine.
I haven't seen any.
We're just gonna watch. I'm gonna watch it. Like, come on. They're, like, begging on
I've heard
enough.
Kind of what I expected of, like, there's incredible performances. There's some stuff where the CGI of just, it is what it is at this point, and you just kind of, it could be better, but alas.
It's underwater. I'm sorry. Technology can only go so far. Like, let's be reasonable, humanity.
Well, it's, like, how they choose to light it of leaning too much into realism of, like, it's still a movie. It still needs to be kind of colorful and pretty and, like, visually enjoyable and not just too, like, murky. Yeah.
Like, I was at the bottom of the ocean recently. It's not.
That sounds so ominous, Jen.
It's okay. I was in a submarine. It's all good, y'all. I was safe. But I'm just saying it's not the teal aqua explosion one would expect. Based off of Disney films.
No,
but it's also
dark.
A movie. So it's like
right. So like you need it's like Game of Thrones. We understood that the battle had to take place at night, but also throw some spotlight on that shit so we can actually see the battle.
Right.
Like it's a balance, guys. It's a balance. But I think, like, so when we get to, so, okay, did you see the TikTok I sent you, Cal, with the pictures of Colin?
I didn't. I need to go check that out.
Okay, so, like, I think TikTok heard me. Okay, now, Colin fans, I need you to, like, not come for my life, all right? So just calm down. I feel quite confident I'm going to enjoy them. But I have to say, like, in terms of, like, George, Simon, and Anthony, Colin, in comparison, is kind of like the cupcake to their beef steak hotness. You know what I mean?
It's like, just doesn't do it for me.
It's just like, it's like a baby goat compared to like a stallion. Like, that's what it feels. So
it's not to bury Alan levels of asexual, but it is just a,
you know, it could lean there easily.
Instead of,
yeah, it's playing around those edges. Yes.
Right. You're like, yeah. So I
will also give benefit of doubt of the lighting and aesthetic differences of season one Anthony versus season two or season two.
Correct. Of... So yes. I feel like TikTok heard me, and they literally, a video loaded. I'm not kidding you. It was like 15 minutes later. It was a little creepy, and he has buffed up. The hair.
I have seen like pictures and stuff where he's.
The hair has gotten fixed.
It's not like such a pompadour anymore.
It's almost more pompadour, but it looks better.
Okay.
I don't know how that
embracing
works.
His natural curl.
Yes. So I was like, ooh, Colin is coming for the title. So we'll see. I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful.
Because it
but
sounds
I feel
like
the reason why I like George and Charlotte the most is probably because, you know, like when one partner has an illness, you know, you guys, that's going to go.
I knew that when I was watching, I was determined why these two were her favorite.
Mm-hmm. This is Jen's total speed. Like when Oliver proposed to Felicity, you guys, in the hospital bed, I was a fucking wreck. I couldn't even type for like 3 hours. I was hysterical.
I knew that was like a big deal.
It's a thing. I have a thing.
And her like declaration about how she was there for him no matter
right.
what.
And like,
and his insecurity and her certainty, and it was just.
And
was
also,
very
he's
sweet.
Just the most adorable, crazy person you've ever met in your life. I gotta give it to Shonda Rhimes because I was really worried.
He's a crazy person.
I mean, it's King fucking George the Third. That man was insane. We separated our whole country from him. Like, I feel like the Hamilton George the Third is probably the more truer and historically accurate representation. But anyways, this one was really cute, so I'm okay with it.
He was sweet.
He was really
sweet. Very sweet.
He was very sweet. And, like, I feel like they really nailed Charlotte, like, the younger version of Charlotte.
Oh, she was great.
Because she's just with it enough to be like, well, you can kind of see... Like, she's not totally kind of in that I'm the queen, everything I'm saying is correct kind of mode that she's in later
Speaking
in life.
Of which,
but you can see her move that direction.
Did you catch the change? Like, they went to that ball at the end in the last episode, and the way she spoke to, I forget who it was she even spoke to, but like, I'm like, oh my God, she sounds like Queen Charlotte now.
Yep, I did. The other thing that people brought up, you know how she picks. There's a diamond every season. Like before they go to one of the big balls, he looks at her and calls her a rare jewel.
Oh,
I was like, well, slap me silly. And then like she watches, like when she was watching Kate and Anthony dance and they were like, it's just look at me, it's just the two of us. Like there's a George and Charlotte moment where he's like, it's just us. Like so all the things that she sees in the diamond and in that person's, you know, partner is reflective of her love for George. It's really just reclaimed. It's a lot. And I understand George is in his bedroom drawing on the ceiling and like is like not with it and hides under a bed and that's the only time that he's actually with it. I get it. I don't know what to tell you though, guys. It is what it is.
That scene under the bed though, that was so funny.
Because, like, you know that feeling. Like, there is, if you are a married person, I don't care if you're straight, whatever, LGBT, whatever. If you're married, there is always at some point in the marriage where you're like, I could really go over a wall. right now, you know?
You like, didn't go over the wall.
And, like, they mm-hmm. like, no, and then they didn't go over. It's just so good. It's so good. Anyways. So, yeah.
And I love the young Lady Danbury casting, too, because
the was clips perfect. I've watched.
She's not British. She's American. I heard her American accent the other day. I'm like, why is she talking in an American accent? She's clearly British. And it just threw me.
You know, and it doesn't hurt that she reminded me quite a bit of Freema.
She does. Yes. That is who she reminds me of. Yep. That's not a bad comparison at all.
Nope. And that thing with her and Violet's dad was just so sweet.
It was. I'm really curious to see, like, where does this go? Because, like, we're going to need to give Mama Bridgerton a storyline pretty soon. So
they were definitely opening the door for that. Yeah. They're like, okay, she's ready. Yeah.
Mama Bridgerton's going to get a boyfriend. And I'm very
her garden is in bloom.
Yep. It's like, I'm very curious to see how her and Lady Danbury interact after this kind of, like, unspoken truth between them. Of Lady Danbury's relationship with her father.
Yep.
Because I feel like Violet was not excited about it. She was like,
no, she kind of had a not great reaction to it.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess like if you find out your dad cheated on your mom at any point in time in your life,
she saw her mom. Okay. Right.
Like, that's my point. Like, is it really a shock he went shopping? She's horrible. She's a horrible person.
And you're like, how did someone so nice? Because Violet Bridgerton is just lovely.
It's just purely delightful. And even when she was little, well, what they said was that, you know, her mother was terrible, but her father was awful. And so she's really her you know, her father's daughter. So I was like, oh, that's nice. I'm kind of down for, like, watching Violet and Mr. Bridgerton. Like, I'd be cool with a flashback of those mm-hmm. two.
There was a book. Yes, it was in the Bridgerton's Happily Ever After book.
Mm-hmm.
It because each of the original books had, like, an extended epilogue.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, like, 10 years or so later.
Oh, kind of show nice. Them as a, so, like, family. You get to see them in the future.
Yeah. And so then it was all wrapped up. Like, all those epilogues were put together in a book with a short story about Violet. And
I love that. I'm totally, now, so the George and Charlotte have just totally, like, sold me on, like, flashback couples. Let's do the whole thing.
I thought it was interesting. I saw a reel on Instagram talking about, like, Violet's relationship with her mom shows mm-hmm. is, like, hints to, with, like, the Colin and Penelope stuff coming up of, like, Penelope being a wallflower of, like, Violet having sympathy for
Penelope.
Her bad relationship with her mom and
her,
like,
mother's
being
awful.
There for her.
And that's the thing where I'm going to be so conflicted with Colin and Penelope, because I don't really like Colin, but I love Penelope.
I mean, I really think that's what's going to carry us over the finish line, is, like, our love of Penelope is so great. And it's kind of like, well, and she likes Colin, so okay, he makes her happy.
Yeah, I think that's how I'm going to get through.
It's like Lucas and Peyton for me. Like, Lucas ostensibly was a terrible, terrible person a lot of the time and a total asshat. But he makes Peyton happy, and I want Peyton to be happy. There you have it. And once married, he did rise to the occasion and was a good husband. But what a shit show getting there. Wow. So I'm hoping, like, there's some of that aspect to it. Mm-hmm. Or that maybe they just make Colin suffer so much in unrequited love with Penelope. Because I think
I'm okay with that.
I think she's going to be like,
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like they're tweaking things a little bit. Is they're kind of almost doing the, like, to reference a Robbie Amell classic of the Duff, of, like, I'm going to coach you on how to be doable.
Yes. Yes.
And then I coached you too well, and now you're dateable.
Yeah, I need that. I need his jealousy.
But now I want you.
I need, you know, yeah, I need that to start happening around episode two. Cool.
Any deviation from the book is good for me, because that was probably one of my least favorite of the
book. Okay. That's
because
good. That's good to know.
He was like as insufferable as he's kind of been so far. his book, he was more insufferable.
I'm really curious why they pivoted off of Benedict to Colin.
I think because they wanted to rush along the Lady Whistledown thing.
Probably. Get Penelope kind of settled, her connection with the Bridgerton family in a lock, and then go from there.
Yeah, it's I'm interested, seeing the Whistledown secret is a lot harder to, like, keep the suspension of disbelief that no one figures it out and all that.
This is true.
A long
it's like the Green
time.
Arrow secret. It's like, it's not really a secret.
I'm kind of interested to see if they start Francesca's storyline, because she's married for a couple of years. And then her husband dies, and then she's a widow for like a year or two, several years at least, and then she gets with the guy that's in her story.
Okay.
But can we talk about how much it sucks that the original actress, she left Bridgerton to go be the lead in another Netflix show.
Yeah.
And in that time, that Netflix show has now been canceled even before Bridgerton season 3 has now aired.
And she lost the part.
Yeah, because now it's recast. So.
Oh.
Well.
Was she under contract for the other show? Because, like,
yep.
This is a fuck around and find out scenario. I'm sorry, but it is.
Don't sign shit, people. Like. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, that really sucks. But I feel like we're a ways off from her stories still.
Well, I think they need to launch it this season.
Yeah, they need to be giving the people some Benedict too, because peeps are not happy that.
Well, it would make sense to finish out this season by starting Benedict's. Mm-hmm. Because there is a bit of a time jump from when he and Sophie meet to when their story really begins.
Also, isn't it a little predictable just to go? Well, I guess no, Daphne wasn't the oldest, so they didn't go in birth order.
No, yeah.
So, yeah, I get it. But, like, all three of the older boys right away, I'm fine with them mixing it up. I don't care either way. Like, I'm watching this whenever.
When they do Francesca, I mean, like, in Colin and Penelope's season.
Yeah, like,
and
I'm
next
not
would be
mad about the Colin.
And then Eloise, and then Francesca.
I'm not mad. Well, and the other one that I feel like they've kind of thrown me for a loop is Eloise, because that isn't that connected to Francesca's?
No,
it's connected
to Penelope's.
Oh, okay.
So there is a potential that they could go straight into Eloise and then
that push
Benedict
sense?
Back even further.
Especially because they put like the whole focus on like, you know, Penelope writing about that dude. I can't remember his name. Like that was one of the big straw that broke the camel's back is like she, you know, Lady Whistledown threatened that relationship and exposed.
Well, in the book, what happened was at the end of Colin and Penelope's, when they had the big ball and they announced that she was Whistledown and everything, like Eloise skipped that because seeing her best friend happy and married like made her feel lonely. And so the whole time, unbeknownst to us, we didn't know until we read her book, all through Colin and Penelope's story, she had been trading letters with Philip.
Oh!
And so when it was their ball, she went missing. Turns out she ran away to go meet him. It was like a pen pal relationship almost. And she shows up on his doorstep and he's like, what the fuck are you doing here? I have this unmarried lady in my house. I need a chaperone. Holy hell, what do? I have two children. What am I going to do?
Amazing. Okay. So yeah, that does connect. So they really could. Though I feel like if they put off, here's my other thing. If they're putting off Benedict, because clearly, I mean, I feel like we can all agree that Benedict is like the hottest
brother.
Hot.
Oh yeah. My God.
Like, so you're holding on to like the, you know, it's like picking between, are you going to roll with Stephen first or are you going to go with Robbie? Like you wait on Robbie. Like,
yeah,
clearly,
that's
you know,
to keep us all on the hook.
To keep us
in suspense,
to give us Stephen, but then later on, Robbie's the hook, so you don't give us the real carrot until later on.
Yeah.
So which one is Stephen? Is he Colin?
Yeah. in this scenario. Yeah, like, that's a fair statement. Arrow fans, don't come for me. I know I have 350,000 like word single space about how hot that man was. I respect it. I'm just saying, if you're picking between a Mel Brothers, there's a little too more to it for me.
Cousin.
Looks. And Robbie is clearly the superior.
Well, and also keep cousins, in mind, we have met these both of these men, Robbie and Steven, in person. And
there's
when you put
distinct difference,
there's a superior Amel brother or cousin, and that's all there is to it.
I mean, Robbie Amel was ready to like break out the wedding book and like start showing me the invitations.
Like, he was so excited.
He was so excited. He was like, "You want to know what food we're getting?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Okay." Hilarious. Like, no cuter teddy bear has ever existed. So that's my story. Okay. Well, there you have it. Speaking of Arrow.
Episode 19.
Oh, I was also just of like, because we talk about entertainment e stuff. Writer strike. It's going down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I don't have enough teeth in this game. Like,
I just want good TV, and so I want them to give the writers
like pay
what
them.
They
Can
want.
Can you just freaking pay them? It's like enough already, okay? Like, you have gazillions of dollars.
Just
pay
share
them.
The wealth.
Don't use AI. AI is not writers.
No. Oh my God. Really? That's what they're trying to do? They're trying to use AI? That's have they ever read a story by an AI? They don't make any sense.
No.
Okay.
Also, I love that there was an AI that, like, this publishing house was wanting to use, and they got caught red-handed of stealing off of fan fiction because it, like, kept talking about, like, nodding from, like, Omega.
That's the connection. Okay, I saw somebody that was saying, like, there's a connection between the WGA and the Omegaverse, and I was like, what? What if
because,
I
because like it was talking about this like romance story that kept talking about nodding, and they're like, there's only one place that like mentions that, and that's Omegaverse. So we know what you stole from.
Amazing.
But yeah, like shrinking the writers' rooms and not paying them as much. And now, like, the crazy thing is that we live in a world where your biggest fear is no longer a too soon and unjust cancellation. It's your show gets canceled and also just wiped off of the face of the earth.
Yes, I don't like that they can just do that.
No,
because now, because we already saw HBO Max do that, and now Disney Plus and Hulu are doing that, and you're just like, no. So, like, you know, we all talk about like pitch getting canceled too soon. Well, at least it was available to watch on Hulu.
Well,
and
at least the people, there were residuals being paid out when people would watch them on streaming. And that's the only reason they're doing it is so that they don't want to have to pay the people who made it in the first place.
Oh, I did not know about this aspect.
Yes,
that's some seriously dirty pool.
That's
so then it's just a tax write off of just removing it from Earth.
I swear, networks really are just the epitomization of the devil.
Evil empire, man.
They are. It's like, man.
What's interesting is now there's a vote for SAG-AFTRA to strike. So now the actors are striking too, because they're also getting crappy residuals with streaming and everything. And so it...
Yeah.
And,
well, it needs to happen. This has been a long time coming.
It's
they,
a
like,
long time coming.
They got to battle it out. So
streaming has completely... fucked up this industry.
It really has. It really, like, it's really struggling to find its way through it, you know? I mean, the CW didn't survive. It died.
Yeah.
It
poor one died. Out. Arrow ended, and it was, like, just a slow, painful descent into an abyss of nothingness. Oh, yeah, and then there's The Flash. That still counts as an abyss of nothingness. Oh, my God!
It always was.
Because TikTok likes to share Barry Allen shit with me, I saw.
Oh,
I don't,
God.
Listen, I don't know.
How did you get on Barry
plot.
Allen talk?
I know. I don't know the plot of the final season at all, but for whatever reason, Eddie is back.
How is Eddie back?
It doesn't matter. And Eddie's like, fuck you, Barry. I died for your pathetic ass, and then you married my fiance. And I'm like, you know?
Yeah.
Eddie has a point. And Eddie was like, I thought I was. He was like, I thought I was dying for something greater. And then turns out, nope. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of my attitude. last 9 years. Why did Eddie die for him? Why does anyone die for him?
No one should.
No one. So yeah, thanks TikTok for fueling my rage some more. I had to leave a comment.
Barry
like,
Allen.
Eddie, I said Eddie has a point. The people are gonna like. I'm gonna get so much hate, but it's fine. I'm okay with it. It's fine. All right, episode 19. I feel like we should call it the episode where the descent of Tommy Merlin.
And yeah, it's starting.
It's starting, and it makes me so sad. It's like, come on, Merlin. Don't like he goes. All right, so like Oliver, yeah, is a dick this episode, but like also Oliver's pretty much a dick every episode.
Like, you've been his friend for how long? You know this about him,
right? Like, Tommy, you grew up with this guy. He's a dick. Like, it's just an aspect of his personality. Now, I'm not saying that Tommy is not well within his rights to get annoyed and angry that Oliver.
It's not an excuse, but
right, that Oliver, who is a confirmed. I mean, I think serial killer is an okay term to use.
It's not incorrect.
It's not incorrect. Not by the numbers. Feels like it's likely that Tommy is selling Vertigo in their club. Like, understandable. How Tommy's like, fuck you. And walks when clearly he was not selling drugs in their club.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, then he goes to Merlin for a job. And you're like,
don't join the evil empire.
Joins the evil empire. And we were so close. We were so close. And I feel like that's all that happened this episode. Oh, and Diggle got to be awesome.
But Diggle is often awesome.
I know, but like, I feel like they don't give enough of like Diggle like showing up and saving Oliver's ass. And it was such an awesome Diggle saves Oliver's ass because he's about to be toast moment. Well,
and when Diggle saves Oliver's ass because Oliver did something shitty to right. Diggle.
Right.
Or anybody, but to Diggle. Yeah. And then Diggle saves his ass anyway. Oh, my God.
See, and I feel like that's true brotherhood because for the most part, Diggle understands that Oliver's a dick.
I feel like it's happened more often than it probably should, though.
Fair.
Yeah.
Like, there's multiple examples of this.
I feel like we're a solid season 1 through 3 before we start to see any kind of real improvement in that department.
And that's what made when the shoes were on the other feet feel so wrong and weird.
Did you hear Steve said season 4 was his least favorite season?
Steve, who's siding with him?
And then the real gut puncher, 5. 5 is his favorite.
Well, no.
I can get behind.
That's revisionist history bullshit.
Okay, I can get behind the final run of like 6 episodes in season 5 is the best final run of episodes. And let's be honest,
the last run of episodes of season 4, I think Steven judges off of the finales, like how a season
ends up. He does too. I don't know. So I'm comfortable saying like once we find out that Prometheus is Adrian Chase, like it's go time, and those were like some seriously awesome ramp up episodes.
Also, see but like
5.
It does give us 520, the best episode, but fair.
To be fair, no one's favorite episode is season 4.
Also true. I was going to say, like, I don't necessarily disagree with him. I might have thrown 8.
8 is pretty terrible.
In truly. That bucket. Like, if I had to pick.
But he might have a recency bias on that one, though.
Yeah, but it was pretty painful, guys.
Well, and also, I think the reason, you got to look at this from Steven's selfish angle.
Yeah.
Because season 8 was all about him and nothing else.
It's true.
Season 5 was a lot about him, too.
Season 5 was a lot about him. Season 4 was a lot about a lot of other people.
Because I feel like...
Because actually, because of the Laurel death thing, of just there was a lot of Katie.
There was a lot of Katie.
There was a lot of Felicity. There was a lot of Diggle. There was a lot of everybody else.
You know, they expanded beyond his. He's like, oh, it's just because the magic didn't work. And I'm like, like, I don't disagree with him on that. I don't think Damian Dark could have been awesome. I feel like we're in a Damian Dark situation because, like, the writers determined that we'd figured out the plot, and so they had to change it. Like,
yeah,
in like the middle of, like, the Vampire Diaries The Cure storyline, you know, like everybody guessed who it's gonna be, and then they're like, oh, okay, we're just not gonna do what's logical because you guys guessed it. Like, okay, you're just gonna be shit.
There's a reason awesome. It's logical because it makes sense.
It makes fucking sense. You literally weaved it into the story, you know, like a plot should be, but whatever. Okay. Just, it still makes me so angry. So, like, I'm with him on the Damien Dark thing. Missed opportunity. But also, Five
had its moments.
Five had its moments, but Five also had the gun control episode, and it's just not forgivable. Oh,
God, that's
all I gotta say.
Five also had
Susan Williams. It was a real low point. If you guys want to know, was there ever a time where Jen cratered? It would be the gun control
episode. It had Susan Williams.
Oh, and the sex, and then she went to the reporter. Yep. Yeah, I feel like Five, there are a lot of low points. Now, I'm not saying 520 is not my favorite episode. It is my favorite episode. But we were owed. There was a deficit in season 5.
It's so true.
So, I mean, it did a lot. It solved a lot of my problems. I was pretty happy rolling in the later half of season 5. But I can't say it's my favorite season. I think that's insane. I would be, but I think I might be more, no, would I be more okay with season 1? See, this is where Cal and I always end up. We always end up season 1 as our least favorite season.
Season 1.
So at least he's got off of that train. At least he's not preaching about how season 1 was the best, because just zip it. I don't want to hear it anymore. I heard that for like 6 years.
I don't
years.
Like it when he says something that the fanboys agree with.
I know. Stop supporting them. It's an uncomfortable position to put us in. Also, did you guys, I saw that article where they're like, Felicity Smoke's the worst character. Like,
that was
funny. They don't even.
You guys are so dumb.
I'm like, listen, I am writing, when I write, it's an Elicity blog. Like, there is no hiding my preference. You know, like, I am high. It's emblazoned in neon.
Yes.
Literally, neon pink. In the block, okay? So you can kind of put together that when I'm coming from an analysis perspective, it's as an Elicity shipper. What drives me nuts about these people is they like to, like, present themselves as fair, impartial journalists, which is actually crazy. I'm like, no, you're not impartial. You're just a Lorville fan in sheep's clothing. That's all I have to say. Because, you know, she was clearly the end game and made more sense. I don't even know what world they're living in. I don't. I'm sorry. It just bothers me. Does Tommy dump Laurel soon?
Well.
Like, is that coming?
Three episodes away from Laura versus X.
Oh, God. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
It's like a mental block. That's okay. We're going to have some fun laughing at it because it's just the worst sex scene.
Radioactive!
Like, you know, it's going to be the socks for me. If I recall, I feel like it was her socks. That was part of it for me. It's pretty gross. So.
And the glorious blooper of them missing the bed and falling on the floor.
I mean, that is a classic. That is a classic. We didn't get a lot of Felicity this week. There was a cute little where she was kind of like saying, hey, good job for not murdering the count. And he's like, yeah, well, he's selling drugs again. So it was a stupid decision. And she's like, okay, well, you like to yell.
The count is going to do us a solid next season.
Just I know. Exactly. Oliver, you got to keep the count alive. That's our boy. That's our man. Coming through for us in a big way, season 2. We just got to.
He really is.
He's really gonna bring it home for us. I kind of forgot how much of the count is in season 1. Like, he's in it a lot.
Two episodes. Doesn't seem like a lot, but
I feel like this is a safe space. This is a safe space.
Yes,
I feel like it is. So after how many years? Is this a solid decade we've been talking about Arrow?
True.
Where does the name Verdant come from?
Verdant.
Verdant. Where does it come
it's
from?
It's green.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was really obvious.
Yeah.
I didn't know
haven't
that.
You ever heard something that's like that's very green? Like, no. Like a
the verdant hills of Ireland. Green. Yeah,
they're verdant.
No, not even once.
Really?
I don't know how that happened.
Oh my God, Jennifer! I thought that was the most obvious thing.
I never understood. Like, this is such a weird name for a club and it makes no sense to me.
It's green.
Never. Green. Did I Google it even one time? Nope.
And then they acted like they were surprised when Oliver ended up being the Green Arrow.
You're like how did green? That happen?
You named your club Green, Tommy. You were there.
What's the explanation, Oliver? You're naming it the color green because of money?
I don't know.
That would be the lamest excuse, but like the like, best.
Why didn't you just name
it's
just it
my
like,
favorite color, man?
Name it forest or olive. Those are more obvious, I feel.
No, but they don't sound as upscale.
It's fancy. Yeah, I've never heard of that color before, and now I feel like
it's not a color; it's a descriptor.
It's a descriptor. Okay. Really?
Yeah, it's like an adjective.
Okay, I can't believe I didn't know those.
Because verde is
you know
in Spanish.
You know,
green with
Google
grass,
exists, and
other rich
Jen.
Vegetation. Oh, it's like actually like oh, okay. Oh, the deep verdant green. I think I have heard that. But maybe I haven't. I don't know. I feel like I feel like maybe
I'm so disappointed.
Green with vegetation. Got it. That's a terrible name for a club. It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
You named your club vegetation?
Whatever. It's just green.
Okay, well that really has answered.
Honestly,
should have
named it. It would have been ironic to name the club Leanne Yu and just capitalize on your personal tragedy.
I almost died in a hellscape. Please give me money.
But it tracks.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else I'd name the club. I don't have a better idea. I'm just going to judge Oliver's idea. Maybe it was Tommy.
Well, you know, Tommy's joke is if you called it Queens, you'd get a much different clientele.
Tommy was good for some one-liners, I tell you. All right, peeps. My spouse is going to want to feed me soon.
Yeah, Kyle's on his way with our pizza.
All righty, guys. We will reconvene.
Sometime, hopefully.
So I'm going to be in Calgary. If I'm in an airport during their podcasting time, I will sign in. I just don't know what time zone I'm going to be in.
It's cool. Oh, I have to send you a breakfast place in Calgary that I had.
Calgary, I think, is mountain time, so you'll be an hour behind where you are now.
Yeah.
That's helpful. Thank you. This is why I need you, Callie, to tell me what the time is going to be. That's
but I had s'mores French toast in a spot in Calgary, and it was magnificent.
Yeah, so I might either be on the plane, but if I have a layover, so I'm hoping that they'll land when we're podcasting. But we'll find out.
Sounds like a good plan. You
That's
have a good
story.
Trip.
Okay, peeps. Talk
and
to you
have
later.
A great weekend, everybody.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey y'all, it's Maddie. Quick little editor's note here. Due to extreme procrastination and straight up just forgetting, we haven't uploaded episodes in forever, so decided to make this one a supersize episode. So I'm joining actually two separate recording sessions over, so that way you got another half hour of goodness from Jen, Callie, and myself talking the Flash ending, writer strike, and all those fun things. So enjoy.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can, and you're not echoing. It's all beautiful.
I think I actually had like two sessions open. I think that was part of the problem. So like none of us have actually watched the episode I Love Us. It was hilarious.
Correct. So we're not actually good.
Talk Carol, probably.
The whole watching over part of watch over.
Yeah.
There'll be arrow tangents. The Arrowverse ended this. That requires discussion.
Yeah.
Even if it's just on kind of a wah wah kind of note, like there's not much fanfare for what was such a big thing, you know?
Yeah. Really like muted, like just kind of like a wah wah. I read like the summary on TV Line and I was like like
okay.
Hardly any stars came back, so it was ridiculous. So
Well, really I hate to make a sports analogy because that truly pains me. But you know how sometimes there's like a big athlete and then they should have retired like 2 years prior when it would have like ended on a perfect cinematic blaze of glory. But then they stay around for a couple more years where then it's just several seasons of just like media performance. And then you're just like, why couldn't you have just ended it while you were still good and loved by everybody?
No, for real though.
Yeah. Money. That's why. But that's why. Money. That's why the Arrowverse stayed around too. Was way to get. And I, as much as I'll say about Barry Allen, I do respect that.
I mean, you gotta admire the hustle. Just doing the best he can. I like Grant Gustin. I don't have a problem with Grant Gustin, and I think he was a really good Barry Allen. I just don't like Barry Allen.
Exactly. That's more the point. And if we're going to have a Barry Allen, I'd go with the one that has an active. So,
hey, yeah, what are we talking about, ladies?
We're going to talk
about Arrowverse ended this week.
The Arrowverse is over.
Oh,
none of us really watched 119. So, kind of feel like it's a momentous, the Arrowverse is done.
Exactly, as just a show of how off we are in a rewatch. We talked about 119 last episode. Technically, 120 is what we should have watched, but we didn't.
I'm so confused. Oh, really? I don't know where we're at anymore. I thought about 118.
Because
no, you might be right.
And where Vertigo's back and
Tommy you're right. Quits. We did do 119, so it's 20.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, so we'll catch up on 20 next week.
Well, we'll catch up when we catch up. Yeah.
It's but I did fine. Try to like. I did try to read the summary on TV Line of the Flash finale. It's like I haven't watched the show in a long time, so clearly I was not expecting to understand stuff. But, like, I really didn't get about all of these different speedsters fighting other bad speedsters. It was rough, you guys. So that is really the summation that I could come up with. Also, I think like Iris was in it for 15 seconds and they didn't have like that many, like there was no Cisco. He didn't come back, which I thought was
I saw something tell. Where like people are making lists of like the worst series finales and that's like the top of a lot of people's list.
It sounded pretty awful. It got like a C on TV Line. And I was like, if you're getting a C on TV Line, because those people, they tend to be somewhat generous in their polling.
They're very like, generous.
Yeah. I'm like, then it's probably like a D or an F in reality. I was just like, and like, it was just kind of like
what it is it's just, it wasn't good. It just wasn't an active middle finger to everyone who's watched the show. Because that's now what we give an F to the fan, like the series finales and stuff.
Right.
If you haven't actually insulted me in my intelligence, I'll give you a C.
I did see somebody rank it as worse than the Game of Thrones finale, which I was surprised about.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like halfway tempted to like watch it just to see like how bad was.
Jen just like, I want to lean into that torture.
I want to lean into the anger and like support it, you know, like join in. It's like
balance. Life is short, like, Jennifer.
But I'm also like,
Jen just hears like, the like voice of let the hate flow through you.
Yeah, I'm like, let me, yeah.
She's going to the dark side.
Like, just let me be part of the anger and the hate. That's all I want. No, it was. It seemed like, you know, Iris is in labor. And then something about like Eddie's the main bad guy, and he's pissed that Barry stole his life. Which, I mean, valid. I'll be honest with you, Team Eddie. And yeah, like. Then she gives birth to Nora, and like that was it from like, oh, and then he like makes a bunch of other speedsters. So instead of like the flat said, like, that lightning chose you, Barry. So then Barry chose other people.
the lightning with them. It's a little Buffy the Vampire Slayer where everybody gets to be a slayer. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I was like,
because that was such a popular thing on Buffy. You know, we have to redo it.
Yeah, well, we all loved that ending so much.
People were so excited.
Fantastic! Thanks, Josh.
Infamously popular ending.
Exactly. We were really all hoping. Gee, I really hope Buffy ends up not being the only Slayer. That's the dream.
We don't want to copy Lost. Heaven reunification ending. We want to go for something with a little bit more spice. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just kind of, yeah, it was, you know, I mean, as predicted, Callie, nobody died. He got his happy ending. It was,
I mean, so. Did anybody honestly think though that he was going to die? Like, honestly, I saw some people that looked like they were legitimately surprised. And I was like, I haven't even watched the show, and I knew that was not a thing that was going to happen.
Death would be a consequence of actions, and so...
No way!
I'm just shocked that people thought that was going to happen.
I know! Really?
Like, that is the most shocking statement I've ever heard. I just cannot even... It was really kind of like how mellow it was of an ending. Mm-hmm. So I guess Barry just gets to stay the Flash forever. And oh, this was the part. So you know how like Oliver has to defeat his enemies and like all that kind of stuff? Like Barry just kind of like had a visit with Eddie in the Speed Force and was like, hey Eddie, how about you just like don't destroy the world and like that we can just like be. And then she was like, okay.
What if you just be good?
Yeah, it was basically just be good, Eddie.
Right?
Because, you know, Barry is such a force of, like, light and whatever. Yeah. And so it just took one conversation. Yep, it just took one conversation. Just, like, hung out in the Speed Force, and they're like, we're just going to be bros. Cool. That was it. You know how, like, in Twilight, when you're reading the last book, and you're expecting it to, like, build up to this really huge fight, and then, like, nothing happens?
Yes, movies, and everyone lost their shit.
Yeah, because we got what we thought we were gonna get in the book. Yeah. So it was 100% that from what I could read on the TV line summary. Although I gotta be honest, TV line was pretty snarky. So there was another couple that kissed. Yeah, another couple that kissed in the finale, and they said, and that kiss lasted about 10.5. You know, minutes longer than any Barry and Iris kiss in the history of the show.
Dude.
It was salty. It was really salty.
Oh my God. Call it out.
Mm-hmm, it was really.
I love there was like. That was addressing of like, can we bring back of just, I don't like this ship and not calling a ship that you don't like a brother sister dynamic?
Right.
Like,
I saw that.
Yes. 100% true, except for West Allen. Except if they were literally raised together, then you can do the brother sister card, because then if they were raised in the same home, like
if they have called the same guy dad,
exactly,
it counts.
But oh okay, all right,
if they celebrate Father's Day at the same table.
Basically, like, okay, so everybody knows I'm down for babies, right? So, like, it basically seemed like Iris's purpose this season was she's going to be pregnant. Babies. It's babies. So, like, here's the thing. Like, we already know Nora, because Nora was on, like, she came from the future and speed traveled and whatever, okay? So, like,
yeah.
Nora. And you're like...
No twins?
No twins. I was like, so there's nothing extra special in that little delivery. There's nothing. Like, I just feel like, once again, Arrow did it better. Like, we were super excited.
Arrow always does it better.
I know.
Like, way that matters, Arrow did it better.
Yes. And I was like, we didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. It was going to be so exciting. Like, to me, it would have been more interesting if, like, surprise, it's twin. Like, do a Chandler or Monica or something. Like, do this, like, the twin thing I thought on The Flash was a big deal. So I was really like thinking they were going to do that. But nope, it's just Nora. She's here.
Here's the thing. Okay. people can complain about the way Arrow ended and Oliver being separated from his family and all that, which is all very, very valid. But at the same time, you can't tell me that finale wasn't better than whatever it is the Flash did, from what I've, from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I think for like, me to make an absolute, yeah, I think for me to make an accurate analysis, probably I need to like watch the Flash finale. But I'm not concerned that I'm not going to think that, like, clearly Arrow was better. Like, that, like, that's not even a thought.
Arrow's sounds better, but
I mean,
well, it's just, it really for just, better or worse, just, to the very last of it, the writers tried on Arrow, like they did care.
Right. Yeah, they like they did. It to me, it just speaks to that Oliver Queen really was the center and what was holding it all together. And try as he might, Barry could just never fill that void. And I just kind of feel like the whole, I mean, the network went away. Collapsed.
Even the network couldn't hold on without
I'm
all.
Like, I really wasn't expecting the whole network to just collapse. I was kind of, I was even a little bit shocked at like how fast the Arrowverse fell apart after Arrow ended. Like
the network
like,
was sustained because it's a 1-2 punch. Because even though I didn't care or was invested, Supernatural ended at the same time that Arrow did.
Yeah,
the other half together. That was sustaining the CW.
Mm-hmm.
This is true. This is a good point.
That's true. That's a huge point. Well, and you know, there was all of this. There was just so much like, well, oh, this is
no. They tried to do a spinoff on a show that lasted for 15 years, and they couldn't even get the pilot picked up, which shows the change of the TV landscape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, interesting enough, Jared Padalecki's Walker survived. I think that was the other show. That's the one that survived. That was the new show that they didn't cancel. I think. I'm like, okay.
It used to be most things didn't get canceled. Now it's like, what is the one
all
thing
that didn't get canceled? Yeah. Well, and it's going to be a bloodbath after this writer's strike, which is not to say that's the writer's fault at all.
No.
They need to do what they got to do. But like, once again, the networks are Satan and it's going to be a bloodbath because there's just, I mean, they can't go back to work. Like, they have to get paid. It's just ridiculous, you know? So.
It is ridiculous how they sit there and they think that they can get away with this because they can just threaten AI. Like, I'm sorry. That's not going to cut it. Like,
just don't understand. Have they ever read anything an AI wrote? It's like, it's awful. Because it's a robot. It's a robot. It's terrible. No,
as CW writing. W writing by an AI.
Okay, that's a good point, but still.
Well,
it did make me think.
Just fed the Riverdale plot into an AI, it would just explode.
I mean, that's
like,
fair.
No,
that's fair.
That doesn't make sense. That's not
computer. I mean, you're not wrong. I'll give you that one. That is written by an AI. I have absolutely 100% confidence. That's a. It did make me think with the Flash.
A big fever dream.
It's like the craziest ass show. Like now they're all like in the 50s again or something. I don't know what's happening, but I got my way. The only thing I care about is Betty and Archie being together, and I got my way. So it did make me think with the Flash ending. So when do you think Arrow should have ended?
After season 7.
Yeah, okay. Maddie?
Well, if they like, if they had the notice and just stuck to the 5-year plan, I think if they were able to condense the story to an actual 5-year story, I think it would have elevated Arrow to another level.
I think if it was
going to be extended past 5, then 7 was your natural conclusion.
Yeah, I feel like.
It was so clean. 5 years on the island, 5 years off the island. Like,
show, yep. And also, like, you can, like, when you think about season 4 and the way the direction that went, and it was clear they
all
were trying
of season
to stretch
4
out the
was
story.
Gonna be on for like
we're stretching.
Six
yeah,
more
we
years
gotta stretch all of this for a lot longer. And we had to wait like 2 more additional years for Oliver and Felicity to get married. Like, to me, you could get And like, I think about season seven, and it was like the Felicity Smoke wish list in season seven. Everything we had been asking for years was happening that season. You know, her company, she's a badass. She is the lead. She basically was the lead, like, and because Oliver was
7A.
Was like two, yeah, and 7A, two different shows, and they were both.
She had the lead. So much storyline.
Just so much storyline. It's like, I mean, if they had shortened and stuck to 5 years, would that have all happened sooner? Probably, yes. I'm a little, it's a lot to get through, but like, you miss out on a lot of crap too, which I'm in favor of.
I'm always in favor of missing out on crap.
I'm always like, at the end of any show, I'm always like, no, it should have ended 2 years sooner. I really don't think that there's any show where I'm like,
I've seen people complain and I
like the idea as of Prometheus's final villain.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me
wrong. Poetry there.
I love that Eddie was this season's bad guy. Like, I love that. And that
it's the equivalent of Evil Tommy. Like,
it is the equivalent of Evil Tommy. Yes. They got the Prometheus that we wanted in season five. Because I was like, that actually piqued my interest. Because I was like, yeah, I mean, of all the characters in The Flash where I feel like, hey, they could come back and have a serious beef with Barry, it's Eddie. So I did love
shortly
that.
Followed and by whoever Robbie Amell was.
I know. I'm so sad he never, again, he didn't go back. And I think like Caitlin was on it for like 2 seconds. I'm really surprised that Cisco didn't go back. I'm really surprised that he didn't come back for anything. I feel like that didn't end happily. I feel like there was,
it did not.
It just feels like there was tension. I don't know. I don't know enough about behind the scenes stuff either to even comment on The Flash, but it just felt salty. Like, whenever they don't come back to, I'm always a little bit like, like, of course, they all say scheduling conflicts, but I'm always like, is it scheduling conflicts? I don't know.
Scheduling conflicts always seems like shorthand for, they said, fuck no.
Yeah, couldn't make the deal, didn't want to come back. Yeah, it's like, okay. Don't love it, but okay. Yeah, I definitely think they should have stuck to the 5-year plan. I think, like, what the network originally wanted with Arrow was 10 years.
Ugh.
That's what they wanted, I think. And I think
once Emily dropped out, that then they're like, we can't do this for 3 more years. We can maybe do one.
Kind of. I mean, well, they just, Steven said they threw so much money at him. It was like, okay, I'll do one more season. But I agree with Callie. Like, if you're going to stretch it out, if that was the determination, it should end it in 7. The only upside of 8 for me is that we get to have the kids. But the flip side of that is you can very easily introduce that in 7. Like, without doing the whole, they were separated and all, you know what I mean? All of that, the unhappy ending. I guess Stephen, Emily, and David were all at a con together.
I saw that.
Yeah.
It was kind of, Emily had brown hair. It totally threw me off. I was like, whoa, I don't think I've ever seen her brunette. I've seen her pink. I've seen her red, blonde.
I mean, goth black. She was a brunette.
Yeah.
But like, it was black. More
black to me. Yeah, it was black. It's just like, it was a true brunette.
I always knew she'd look good with brown hair.
Does she like look bad in any hair color? I don't really think so.
No,
I don't really
She can pull it off on all ways. And then I think there's some mention of like two of us were in a movie together. Comment.
Yeah, Emily and Steven were in a movie.
Were they really? That's hilarious.
What it movie? Hasn't come out yet, but it's coming.
Oh, okay. Like
they did.
They did a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm excited. It was cute. People got to do, somebody had their bow and arrow, and we finally got pictures of Steven and Emily with the bow and arrow. It was cute. They were really cute pictures. So fandom, well done. Once again.
Well done.
We are well fed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I worked all week. So what did you guys watch? Okay, is Ted Lasso, how many, okay, I think I'm caught up, but I don't think we've watched the latest one for this week.
The latest one is the second to last, next week is the last.
Okay, all I need you to tell me, no major spoilers, but is there any hint about Ted and Rebecca coming up?
Potentially.
Okay.
And to discuss it further with like spoilers.
Okay, I feel like we're running out of time, so it's going to be...
I do feel like we're running out of time. I'm feeling less confident that we're going
to... It's not going to happen. Yeah, because I'm just kind of, like, waiting for it and waiting for it. And, like, to me, one thing that they could do is, like, oh, like, they do, like, a down-the-road kind of thing, and they're together. You know what I mean? But, like, that kind of feels like a cheat, because then we didn't get to see all the fun. It kind of bums me out.
Exactly.
This isn't necessarily a spoiler. In fact, yeah. I don't think it is a spoiler at all. I just think I've seen people discussing online. I'm nervous that it's going to end with him leaving and going, like, back to the United States.
I mean, it's been really heavy on his
son. Hinting towards that, yeah.
Yeah, and him missing his son and how much he's missing out on his son. And I don't disagree with you. I think that might be... I could kind of see, like, Roy taking over the team. Maybe he's the new head coach.
Well, and they're trying to, you know, they're redeeming Nate.
Yeah. That felt like a little bit of a flip for me. Like, that was fast. I was like...
Yeah, okay. I can't care too much about Nate.
Yeah, I'm like, how much I'm going to be invested? I feel like they spent so much time on, like, girlfriend and, like, I don't know. I kind of felt like he was on a separate show for most of the season, and it was like, it's like the Laurel Land show. I just don't care.
Exactly. Don't care. That's a good way of putting it.
Whatever. Like, I get that he's a character on the show and that kind of stuff, but I just was like,
this week also saw the rebranding of HBO Max to Max. HBO Max.
It's better, such worse. A fuck up.
It's really?
It's so dumb.
It's nothing. Like, it
Max
just,
doesn't
it
mean
means
anything.
Nothing.
Yeah.
HBO was such great branding, and then also that Max is a completely different app, so you're making everyone download a new app to get stuff, and you're dropping this the week, like, to the finale of HBO's biggest show.
And also, the app itself, I find I don't like the way it's laid out as well. Like, it's very similar, but in the ways that it's different, I don't like the way that it's...
Also, I like there was a tweet of Max is fucked when, for the list of alphabetical listings of movies, they count the to put movies. Like any movie that starts with the, yeah.
Come on, guys.
Wow. Wow. I haven't looked at all. Damn. I have to catch up on Succession,
and then,
too.
And then what was the even internet. More, while this is getting fixed, the insult will not be forgotten, is let's go ahead while writers are striking, the actors are on the verge of striking, and what was commonly believed would be the holdouts that could be persuaded with just some nice gestures was the DGA, the Directors Guild. However, Max decided to give them a giant middle is, you know who cares about titles? Directors. Because they worked very hard to be of a movie. And so now, upon first launch, they just put all of the writers, producers, all of that under one little grouping together of just creators. So, like,
whoa.
So, like, even in, like, the right order. So, it just have all these people. So, it's like,
wow.
Bowl, it had like three people and then Martin Scorsese. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so. I wonder if there's like a financial side to that.
Yeah, which is a huge
insult.
That's because like where you show up in the credits, I wonder if that relates to pace.
It's a legal thing, yeah. Like that's fought over by lawyers. And
yeah.
So there was a joint statement given by the GGA and the WGA of just like, we will not stand for this. And now it's getting corrected, but we shall see. But also the damage is done. Because it's just, you know, this is different than like
it's just the viewing of like these art forms as just content, which like it's not TikTok or a YouTube video. Like this is different. This this is artistry and entire industries and so much money and livelihood and like that you can't just you're TikTok, a filmmaker, not just a content creator. Like
well, even content creators on like TikTok and YouTube, you clearly know who created it and their name's stamped all over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so the erasure on a movie and television show, that seems insane.
But also, you can't call Martin Scorsese a content creator. Like, that's just,
Like, just throw him in with the.
That's a fucking downgrade.
Like the first AZ, the first AD and Martin Scorsese are on the same credit roll. Really? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Whatever.
They're
trying to diminish everyone's contribution, so they just have to pay them.
Exactly. Yeah, basically.
I mean, they don't have enough money. There's not enough money. There's plenty of money. Just start paying
people. It's just greed, because they want to keep it.
Yeah, it's like this weird hoarding. It's just like, well, and then that wants to like blow their shit on, you know, let's start 15 new shows that cost $10 billion each and then we'll cancel them all.
Let's give Ryan Murphy ungodly amounts.
It's like, well,
we'll cancel them before we have to pay them any kind of residuals.
Yeah, exactly.
Or we'll just remove them from our service and then we really don't have to pay them.
It's really hard to like get invested on any streaming show, and when there is one that like is hot and like it's very exciting because there's just, I mean, it's crazy, we have so many more. It also feels like we have less because you have, it's just tax for cancellation is so intense, you know, like you're like, well, it's worse than where it was when you were just watching the four networks scripted shows. Like the time that they're given to be successes is like minuscule now, and
and it's ironic
weekend.
The amount of like money these streamers have, old TV shows that had the time to develop to become successful, like for example, The Office was not good right off the bat. It needed time to like
Parks and Recreation.
It needed basically a whole season to figure itself out.
Arrow didn't get itself like episode freaking, what was that, 21? It was like not sure what it was. Like it really did kind of have, they gave it that whole first season kind of find what gels and what works, and they find Team Arrow until like the latter half of season one, which nowadays they would have gotten canceled. They wouldn't have made it.
Oh, for sure.
So you think about all these shows that like have such great potential, and they just gave them a little wiggle room to sort it out. You know, they would have more hits on their hand, but now it's just all about how fast people are watching it, which I find is weird. Why is that? Why is that important? Like, why is it important if people binge it? Get it?
I don't either.
I'm confused.
Yeah,
I don't understand. People need to explain things to me. I'm not in the TV business. All right, so I have to catch you on Ted Lasso Succession. Got it. Done.
I recommend you guys a book. I could watch commercials.
Saves this industry from becoming so terrible. If that's the price of this, then
this is
like,
what, if this is like, we could fast forward to commercials. It wasn't that big of a deal.
Revenue, like,
yeah, exactly. That's so true, Maddie. Oh, yes, your book, Fourth
Wing.
Wing. I was on call Force Flight. I had commented to Rebecca because I was very excited for her on the New York Times bestseller list. So I am hearing very, and it was like all over TikTok. So
like Shadow and Bone so well, and
I do.
I mean, it's. I wouldn't say it's anything like it, but like when it comes to the
fantasy aspect to it.
Well, no, the love it.
Oh, okay.
Kind of the dark, and he seems at least at first to be evil, you know, but like it's more complicated than that, but okay. You know, just kind of the it's good. It's got some good content, and it's addicting to read. It's not high literature.
Yeah. If you guys are wondering how Rebecca Yaros is the author, and she is a huge Arrow fan, and she wrote some of her novels with Oliver and Felicity in mind, and they are awesome. So I have a check. Out because she's amazing. So,
and Fourth Wing is worth all the hype.
So yeah, I'm excited. I'm
if really you can excited. Find the copy.
She's written like 20 novels. She's a machine. That woman like just turns them out. I'm like, damn girl. So yeah, I'm really pumped for this one because it seems like people are really excited about it. So I am downloading and I'm going to read it.
Do
someday
I
they'll make
know what you think it is about it.
I like really hope. The other thing is, like, because, like, I love it when books become huge because then they're typically going to get a movie or a movie. I love
And this is prime. I mean, come on, dragons, guys.
I mean,
of course, it's going to
be
a
love some dragons.
Did you read the one that they're all talking about on TikTok? Is it's got the guy from Jane the Virgin, Raphael. He's Plain.
Hoover, it starts with us.
Oh, No. We don't do Colleen Hoover. No.
Is she bad?
I read It Starts With Us, and it's listen, a lot of people are going to fall into the trap with this one. When they watch it, they're going to be like, oh, look, he's so cute. I love him. I ship these two. And then they're going to be in for a super fucking rude awakening because he
really
is not a good guy. It's about.
Oh my gosh! Really?
Yes, it's not a romance novel. It's not a romance novel.
Okay, shocker. Because I thought it's got Blake Lively in it. It's got Blake Lively.
Yeah.
And I love
Justin Baldoni.
Justin Baldoni. He's so cute. He's so sweet. I love him. And then from Yellowstone, 1925. So I was like, this sounds like a solid cast, but like pictures are coming out and it just looks like the costumes just look terrible and people are like, what the heck is going on? And they felt like Blake was too old to play the role.
He is. Like, it's supposed to be like. Well,
yeah. So they went on set and they said that all the characters are aged up and it's taking place like in the 80s or the 90s.
What?
Or something like that. I was like, oh, okay. But I was like, well, Callie reads everything, so I was like,
I read that one because there was so much hype about it, and it was, I mean, it written super well. I mean, it was super basic in that regard, but it was also just like the tropes were all really kind of toxic, and the heroine was kind of like infantilized a bit, and it was just like it. All the good feelings I got from Fourth Wing, because there's disability rep in that one, there's diversity, there's all this like empowerment, but not without like shoving it in your face and look how progressive we are. It was like, it was legitimate and it felt authentic. And It Starts With Us, it was none of that. It was like the antithesis of that. It's just, it's, well, I don't know. I don't love it.
I'm peacing out. I'm not going to read it. Nope.
Well, you can, so you can know what I'm talking about. But like, I wish I could get those hours back.
Maybe I'll watch the movie just because I like Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni. But
you won't like him after this.
So wait, which one's the abusive one? Is it his? Or is it the guy from 1925? Oh, it's his character. Oh my gosh.
Well, I don't know which one's which. I don't know what's the name of the character.
So he's playing like it's I'm trying to think of the character names. So the 1925 guy is playing the boy past and he comes back. And Justin Baldoni is playing the boyfriend that she currently has. And I think he's
if he's playing if Justin Baldoni's playing a guy named Ryle, run.
Ryle. That's what he's playing. Yeah. He's
okay,
playing
yeah. No, we don't like Ryle.
Okay. Really?
Oh, he pushes her down stairs. And I believe she was pregnant at the time. Either she was pregnant at the time or she was shortly after. He rapes her. It's terrible. Yes. I'm telling you, this book is horrible.
like changing everything. Maybe, oh, we're adapting this book, but
no, 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 because like, if there's no. The guy from the past, that's who the next book is about. The next book is It Ends With Us, and it's about her romance.
Oh, God,
with
they
the other
think
guy.
It's a series. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Give me a series. Okay.
It's, no, I couldn't read the sequel because I was like, my stomach still, would turn so much.
I'm still waiting for something borrowed sequel. That was Kate. Kate Hudson and John Krasinski. That never.
Oh yeah.
Because like the first movie I loved those books, but like the second book I think is better than the first book, and like. Nope, didn't get it. So there you have it.
Well.
Sequels don't happen. That's all you got. That's all we got, folks. There you go.
Books.
C'est la vie. Books.
What you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
All right. What you gonna do?
There we go.
IP. So I gotta start getting ready to get boarded. So.
Oh boy! Have fun.
All right. Thanks. Dance competition.
Safe travel.
City. All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Bye.
Bye.